We're partnering with the Persecution Project Foundation right now to help embattled Christians that are being attacked for their faith in the Sudan. Go to ChristmasAirlift.com right now and give whatever you can to help these dear families in the Sudan. ChristmasAirlift.com.
This is Hans Scheil from the Finishing Well podcast. On Finishing Well, we help you make godly choices about Medicare, long-term care, and your money. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
She's real fine, my 409. She's real fine, my 409, my 409.
Welcome to the Christian Car Guy Radio Show.
With today's guest host, our Christian Body Shop Guy, Jerry Mathis.
I say this calls for action, and now.
Gonna save all my money.
Good morning and welcome to Christian Car Guy Radio. And as Robbie just mentioned, as we're leading in, I'm Jerry Mathis from Ray's Body Shop and Record Service, co-hosting this morning, or hosting this morning for Robbie, usually co-hosting with Robbie. I'm going to miss him this morning. He is in the Masculine Journey Boot Camp this weekend. And I guarantee this morning when they woke up, there was frost on the pumpkins. So it's a little frigid in a lot of areas and a little cool here in North Carolina. Well, this morning, as we get ready to sort of dive in with it being, you know, right on the heels and the Saturday before Thanksgiving, one of the things I want to just sort of throw out there and ask the question is, what is a Thanksgiving memory? So if you can think of that memory, or it can be in your car traveling to Thanksgiving for family, or a family event, or just a cool story you'd like to share, give us a call. This is a call-in show at 866-348-7884. Also in the studio with me this morning is Darren DeWitt, which is a good friend of mine, also a guy that I lean on a lot in my business with Color's Edge. And we're going to kind of, in a minute, I'm going to jump back to him. That thing's been in with me quite a few times, but one thing I've never really asked him was sort of a little bit of his background and stuff. I know that he's one thing about Darren, not only is he a supplier for a lot of my paint stuff, or basically all of my paint stuff, but also, and a good friend, but also he's a Christian brother, and I just want him to kind of touch base on that a little bit, and some of the things that he's doing and grew up going to Liberty University, and we both love that university for multiple reasons.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good morning. It's a pleasure to be here and being with you again, and it's been a journey. I can say that growing up in Southern California and settling in North Carolina, so get kind of two different views of the country as you're coming through there. But I grew up in a good in a Christian family and everything. We started off. Just growing up in the church and we started off, I guess, Christian Reformed and went into Southern Baptist and Evangelical Free. So, but we're more on the, you know, all the denominations, they all got great attributes to them. And I think when, I guess, going out there trying to find a good church and everything like that, I think that also is kind of what's speaking to your heart and everything. So exposed really early to a bunch of different denominations as I was growing up, and my sister wound up going to Liberty University and went out there and fell in love with that school, even though it was nowhere near the size or the amenities or anything that it has today, but it was a great Christian university. I wanted to stay kind of in that Christian education field, and it was just, and I wanted to kind of have that college experience also, as far as getting away from Southern California, and I love Southern California still, but it's definitely different than North Carolina, but and especially from Liberty, but had a great time going up there, growing in the Lord up there, and got to exposed a lot of different ideas and viewpoints that I'd, you know, never been exposed to, and it was just a great experience there, and meeting the people, and I'd never been exposed to Southern culture until I went out there, and a lot of my friends were from this area in North Carolina, so.
Well, welcome.
Coming back when I got done with Liberty, you know, went back, started with my family's business in automotive warehousing and stuff, and the Lord provided opportunities to move around the country, help grow that business in that area, and then He gave me the opportunity to start my own company in 2004, so over in Greensboro. And wound up meeting with a lot of great guys in the industry that decided to start the business with me, and started in, I think, July of 2004, and we've been kind of running ever since. But God has very been blessed on our organization and enabled us to continue to grow and work in the lives of my employees and hopefully my customers, and we just try to go out there and show that you can still be a lot of people in business. They're a Christian, I guess, maybe, you know, outside of business, but not in business. We try to kind of keep it all, live our lives accordingly and be able to be a witness out there in the world through our industry.
Yeah, I know that early on when you got started and company formed, that was one of the things that kind of drew me to your company. You know, and it's not always being a Christian and running a business. You know, you don't have to put the placard on the front door. You hope that people, when they come through the door and you're through your employees, they're able to know that you're a Christian. That's the values that you cherish. And also, you know, you don't leave them at the door. You bring them in.
Correct.
That's pretty cool and stuff. And also with your dad, I just want to mention him because I met your dad a few times, and you know, after retiring, I mean, really, he got a new focus in life. And just kind of share just a moment about that.
Yeah, he once he sold the company and retired, he actually went into more missionary or missions field as far as supporting different types of missions. He first started with doing a lot of stuff in Mexico, doing they're called loft houses and stuff like that with a company called Africa, or I think it was something Mercy Partners, and then he decided to do his own one, and they're now called Liberia Mercy Partners. They deal with Africa over in Liberia, and what he does is he tries to connect, does a variety of different things, but he goes over there probably two times a year to kind of and spends a few weeks down there, but in the meantime he tries to go tries to connect different missionaries with different churches, try to get them all involved with each other to promote, whether that's building an orphanage, building a church, education center, medical staff, anything like that. He tries to help fund that and kind of allow spread the word into the Liberian country, into Liberia. And he does a lot in there.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, that's really so important as far as our Christian walk and stuff. And I know it's Christian Car Guy Radio, so we're all going to get to some of the things that's affecting the industry in a moment. We're also going to talk a little bit about getting your car and being prepared for winter driving. But it's just, this week, as I was kind of doing some jotting some things down, I came across a couple stats I just want to share. Because Robbie, when he had the Envision Christian Car Guy Radio and got it all rolling and stuff, I remember us sitting up in the studio, and it was three stations, I think, that was carrying it. And now, I mean, as I hear, just kind of I don't know, it kind of humbled me when I started reading over. There's over 100 radio stations that pick up this Christian Car Guy Radio in 26 states, and it's live streaming on Vine and also on Truth Network. And I just start thinking about all the lives that that's able to touch in multiple ways. And then, Robbie, later I'm also going to talk about during the show just to mention on Jesus' Labor of Love. That's another thing that God put on his heart that's really making an impact into the lives of people that are really in a crisis and stuff. So as we sit there and we go and I'm talking to Darren, you know, right now the world just seems a little crazy, especially in the automotive industry, because you have, you know, there's so many supply issues, and you think, you know, when people aren't affected by it, you just think that's just talk, and it's really not an issue out there. But on every segment, and it's not just automotive, I mean, it's in plumbing and electrical and lumber and going to the grocery store even. Mm. But for from the automotive end, on the body and collision repair, the part that I have to deal with, it's just a lot of different little issues that you wouldn't think makes that big of an impact when you just look at them individually. But when they all accumulate together, man, it makes an impact on getting your car repaired. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We'll be back in a moment. Again, this is a call-in show, 866-348-7884.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
Gonna save all my money. Get a helmet and a roll bar, and I'll be ready to go. Take it out to Pomona and let them know that I'm the coolest thing around. Little buddy, gonna shut you down.
Welcome back to Christian Car Guy Radio. I'm Jerry Mathis, Ray's Body Shop and Record Service, in the studio with Darren DeWitt of Color's Edge. And we were just getting ready, as it was going off, just talking about some of the supply chain issues. And it isn't just a supply chain. It's also just getting product on different things. And as I said, it happens in all industries. And right now, you know, we're in a really, as far as the collision world goes, it's kind of a weird time, because of not only, we're going to talk a little bit about the paint and that type of supply stuff, but it's just even parts and stuff. I mean, I have customers, and most of them will understand, but there's some that don't understand the fact that you could end up having a car that comes in, and you're visually looking at it, and you see all the damage, but when you start getting into it, if it's something, depending on the severity of the damage, if you get in there and it has inner structure or inner rails or some computer damage or relay damage as far as the electrical stuff goes, some of that stuff we're trying to order and they won't even give us a release date. It's not even available. So we're getting cars, we're putting them to side and stuff, and it messes up the schedule. Like, it's horrendous as far as that goes. And we try to work through that and try to not always do the best job, but we try to do a good job of communicating, because sometimes we just don't even know. And this past week, I've had an issue that was just blew me away. We had, now with the computers and electronically being able to order parts, we could get parts from all over the state and Southern Virginia, Northern South Carolina, you know, because they, you know, it's more of a regional thing instead of a local thing. Yeah. Way the parts issues go now. But I had a company that we had a couple big orders, and all of a sudden realized that all the parts weren't there. And I called them, and they had issues with delivery drivers, and they had a co-op group that was delivering parts. Well, they decided to start just doing local deliveries and pickup. And so they had, I think it was like 4 vehicles, they had pieces of orders. They were just sitting there, and they never bothered to call or tell me that they had quit doing that. So all of a sudden, we're backing up and stuff. But it's the same thing with, I'm sure, on your end of it also, Darren.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the labor force, it's just been a very challenging time, a challenging season, trying to get people to come in and fill a lot of these jobs, because we have the same problem, delivery vehicles or anything like that. we've actually had to contract some of our deliveries out just to make sure that our customers are getting product in a timely fashion, because we just can't get, it's just hard to get people to come into work right now for whatever reason, you know, the reasoning being out there. But, you know, with the, on our side, it gets a little more challenging too, because just on your side, you're delaying vehicles because of parts and everything. You know, when they actually start coming in, now you've got a basically a glut of work to push through the shop, which then requires a big push on automotive paint and supplies and stuff. So that all of a sudden we get hammered from our body shops, a big increase. You know, our we don't have that slow, steady increase or decrease. It's just, it's feast or famine, basically. All of a sudden you get a big blast of orders of needing product. And so on our side, trying to fill that pipeline has been a challenge also. I think we've done a great job on it, but it does, it creates, it's just, the whole system is just continually having this pressure that, you know, hopefully will get relief sooner or later, but, it's just been crazy. And then you got production issues on, you know, on the manufacturing end, both on the part side, which is why you're having those parts issues. But even on our side with the paint, resins and stuff like that, a lot of that stuff comes from overseas. Whether I know recently we've been challenged with plastic repair tips, these little mixing tips that go on the tubes, you know, 3M, Sim, all these manufacturers, they were being produced in, I guess, Poland or somewhere near Ukraine. And because of the war, they had to move it. And so there's a backlog on that. So now, you know, there's no tips and being able to supply with these products. So now you get a vehicle in, you might have all the parts, but you still can't repair it because we're out of the tips portion of it to do some of the seam sealers or anything that, you know, the components onto the vehicles on some of the parts to require to get it through the paint shop. So it's just been a challenge, you know, just throughout the whole entire thing, you know, just throughout this whole entire season right now. It's just and hopefully hopefully it's getting better. I think it is incrementally, but yeah, it's one of those things where
one step forward and two back seems like sometimes. And, you know,
yeah.
When you're talking to a customer, you know, it's really hard to explain to them that, as you mentioned, tips. I mean, this is, it's a mix in tips. It goes to the end of a tube. Well, also, those formulas are made so that they go through there so they get the proper mixing. So you can't do anything to reproduce that. It's just, it needs to go, it has to go through there, especially on so many of these vehicles now. Not only are those used as seam sealers, but also that's the adhesives that hold them together.
Yeah.
And if you try to deviate from that, you're not putting a product out there that needs to be put out there. So that's the other piece.
Yeah, because they have to be, especially on the structural repair portions of them, and that's where it can get kind of scary right now, because you just can't swap people's tips back and forth. I can't use a 3M tip and put on a Sim. I guess I could technically, but it's not going to mix the product correctly. So it's not going to have that same OEM strength, or there could be a fault or a defect or anything like that can happen in the future. And, you know, our goal, your goal, everyone's goal is to make sure that when we're repairing these vehicles, it's like new condition, and it's you know, the structural integrity is there so that if it is involved in another accident, it's not going to create a problem for the passengers and the driver, you know, down the road.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, speed is important to be able to get to timely manner, but it all goes back to it, as I always tell people, is to make sure you get a shop that you have confidence in that's going to do it right. Because, yeah, you could switch tips and use a different brand, but you don't know the longevity, if it's in another car crash and stuff, that how durable it's going to be and how it's going to take the impact, because those vehicles are made where every panel depends upon the next one as far as the impact goes, as far as the safety. We'll be back in just a moment. Again, call in show 866-348-7884.
Listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
Here come the Dodge Boys.
Those good guys are back.
With a look in their eye.
They mean business this time.
Their deals are great. Now's the time to buy. See the Dodge Boys now. For a new kind of deal.
Now here's a car partner you just can't beat. Coronet's the name, and it's a real family treat. Feature for feature, Dodge Coronet's got more. What we call standard, others charge you for.
Well, welcome back to Christian Car Guy Radio. I'm Jerry Mathis with Darren DeWitt with me in the studio. A couple quick things I just want to mention. One, a lot of people, because I was talking to Darren between the break about his dad being able to listen to the show, but you can go to Christian Car Guy Radio and go up to the corner, and all the past shows, this show will be up where you can just listen to podcasts. I encourage you to, you know, go back and do that, and also for people to share the show with, just tell them about it. They can go and do that and listen to it. And they can do it whenever is a convenient time for them. Also, I want to make a quick mention on something that's coming up at, I know this is a national show, we're all over the place, but good friend of mine, Nikita Koloff, will be at Pinedale Christian Church on December 4th. And if you've ever been able to, if you're on some of these stations, may carry Man Up broadcast. It's Time to Man Up that Nikita does. You can also go and pull his website up also and listen to podcasts. If you, that name may sound a little familiar, the Russian Nightmare, but you ought to listen. This man has a heart for Jesus Christ and a phenomenal speaker, but he's going to be at Pinedale Christian Church in Winston-Salem on December 4th. I encourage you, if you're in this area, come out and listen because it'll be a blast. With Thanksgiving around the corner, I did want to mention Thanksgiving since we're the Saturday before Thanksgiving, and I'm going to ask Darren about his favorite Thanksgiving memory, but before I do, I think, you know, we are celebrating Thanksgiving because of this country, you know, the pioneers coming here and everything, and, you know, the world ought to be celebrating Thanksgiving on a everyday basis. And I'm going to read a passage in 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. And the reason I read that is, you know, when I start thinking about that, just the thanks that we should have for Christ, you know, coming to the cross, God sending his son to die on Calvary. I mean, every day should be Thanksgiving for us as Christians. But this is the week that we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving on Thursday. And I know everybody has those memories. I can think back. I mean, you know, love getting in a car and we would, you know, kind of rotate it. We had, I don't know, it's kind of this thing where I felt like Thanksgiving was like 3 days. We hit all of our family members would have, oh, I want to have Thanksgiving. So they'd have Thanksgiving breakfast. We'd have a Thanksgiving dinner somewhere else. We'd drive, eat lunch somewhere and then have to go eat dinner. In which we still have been doing that for years, where my family eats, we do dinner, but my wife's family does lunch. So I fill up at lunchtime, and then I got to make sure I save enough space so I can eat come dinner time, which is by Friday, I'm like miserable, but it sure was good.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now, I think, you know, my looking back, my favorite was still when I was a child, growing up with my brother. My brother's about 5 years older than me, and then my two sisters are older than that, so I'm the baby of the family. But I remember, you know, growing up, you know, you wake up on things on the West Coast, like I said, it's a little bit different. Wake up in the morning, you know, the Macy's parade.
The day's already over. What are you talking about?
But the Macy's, you know, Macy's parade has already aired, but you know, out there it airs at the same time. So, you know, we'd wake up, my brother would turn that on. That's his favorite thing, and so we'd sit there and watch that and as a family and everything. And then we'd always do Thanksgiving or kind of in between kind of lunch and dinner. We'd always have it around 2 o'clock-ish or so. And then so we'd be able to watch the moment the Macy's parade was over. The football game was already on because, you know, West Coast time, you know, I think it starts at 9 or 10. So, you know, we'd get to watch football in the mornings and then be able to, after the first game, then we're having the dinner and then watch another game and then have good desserts and everything. So it was just kind of a neat thing with the family. And we always had it just with us. Growing up, and that was always my favorite time, and got to just kind of be with the family all day. So,
yeah, that's it. You know, I think for me, just the family thing. And as I sit back and start looking back, the, you know, memories and stuff with both my parents not able to really do any of that anymore and stuff. And, you know, you really start things that we, I don't know, I really tell you the truth, it's sort of we took for granted over all those years.
Yeah.
And anybody listening who is under 50 years old probably don't understand that. When you start, as you get older, the little things that seem so insignificant are the things that you remember, and it's the getting together with family. It's
yeah, because you know I've tried to replicate it out here where I wake up and watch the Macy's, but you know it's just different when you're you know when you've got the whole family together and you know growing up and everything and you're able to do it as a family. It's just special, I think.
Yeah, I agree, and that's something I'll always sort of go back into, and Myra will tell you, you know, I do too much reminiscing sometimes. I'm kind of the kind of guy who goes and I like to ride through the old neighborhoods I grew up in, and I'll stay in contact with people that I grew up with and I went to school with, and I'm always just like just kind of talking about that stuff. I go on vacation. Myra will not, she tells me I can't go to any kind of old fort or a battleship. Stay away from those because it says it's an all-day thing, and she sits there like blood pressure raising, and it's time to go, can't we do something else, you know. I'm just that's just my personality and stuff. Also, you know, one thing that Thanksgiving is sort of like signals is we're about ready to really get into it. And if you're in the Northeast today, that weather has already hit you. I mean, it's you know, the time of the year where you start saying, okay, now we're going into winter. We've got to start thinking about that. And one of the things that sort of gets overlooked, because every year, I don't have the stat in front of me, there's, you know, hundreds of people in the U.S. that die because of winter conditions. And usually where they broke down or got stuck or even getting out of a car that's slid off the road and get hit by another car. There's so many weather-related deaths, it's in the thousands, really, where people just, a lot of it could be avoided, where people just don't prepare. They don't prepare their car, they don't prepare themselves, they don't prepare the driving schedule or mapping out how they're going to go. And I know a lot of that is regional, because if you come down south, further south you get, 1 inch of snow will just about ground. Yeah. Now you go up, you know, I'm looking up north, you know, it's
yeah, Buffalo with 6 feet, yeah. I think, today.
But, you know, there's probably people still maneuvering around up there. I mean, they're just used to it and they're able to do it. I know that I was in Buffalo, the first time I'd ever went to Buffalo, and it was during the winter, and I had flown up and I was driving a vehicle back, and it was the weirdest thing. I mean, I'm driving down the roads and the snow was, where they've been plowing it, was about 6 or 7 feet high. It was like you was riding in a tunnel.
Oh,
and
wow.
You'd get to an intersection, you had to ease out because you couldn't see anything. You couldn't see what was coming around the corner or anything like that. And it was just so different. But I'm driving it out and I'm white knuckling it. I mean, I'm scared to death, but people just driving, they're passing me. It's like a nice sunny day in North Carolina riding around. So I guess it's just a matter of what you get used to, and also what you train yourself, and what they prepare their cars to be able to do that. They prepare their self to be able to drive like that. I've got a list here. I'm just going to kind of go over some of the things to prepare for winter driving to make it safe. And it's sort of there's 3 points it's going to do. It's prepare for the trip, protect yourself, and prevent crashes on the road. And some of these may seem kind of common sense, but yeah, it's amazing how many of, because of being in the towing industry, a lot of this that may seem like common sense is not common sense.
And I'll put this on the prepare side. I will say also, if you've bought an electric vehicle, preparing for a trip is definitely even more, more important, just because, I mean, you read that one article where a guy had bought an electric car and took him, I think, 20 hours or something like that to get home or something like that, because he, you know, they just, you don't know where your charging stations are and different things like that. You got to know where the limitations are of your vehicle in general. But electric cars now, as they're getting more and more prevalent, I think that's also a definite importance there.
Yeah, that's it. Know your vehicle and stuff. One of them is to maintain your car. And what, you know, these seem like simple things, but batteries are a huge issue during cold weather. And, you know, the truth of the matter is also real hot weather is when also your battery will go out. But people don't really think about that because it's not as big of a crisis. But battery, make sure you check and make sure your battery's in good condition. It's got, you know, got good amperage and stuff, because all of a sudden cold weather and you're stranded on the side of the road, that's not a good deal for you. We'll come back. We'll go over this list in just a few moments. Again, you're listening to Christian Car Guy Radio. Enjoy having you this morning.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
Gonna save all my money. Get a helmet and a roll bar, and I'll be ready to go. Take it out to Pomona.
Welcome back to Christian Car Guy Radio. As we left, we were kind of talking about some of the things to prepare for the winter driving, and we got stuck on the very first one. It's the battery. Is make sure your battery has good amperage. It's a good battery, because, like I said, the worst thing you want is to go somewhere, go to the store, and you go out there, and you've got groceries in the store, or you're picking up kids, and you turn that switch over, and you just get that click, 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 click. That's not a good sound. So, especially when the weather's bad, and that bad weather is really tough on a battery. So make sure you get your battery checked. And most service centers, or even the auto parts stores, will come out and check a battery for free. So I just encourage you to do that. Take time to do it. Check your tire tread. Make sure you have good tires on. In bad weather, snow, worst thing you can do is have slick tires, because then you're going to come visit a body shop like mine because you've done slid into somebody. You're not able to stop. So check your tires. Check your windshield wipers. Make sure you have good windshield wiper blades and stuff, and keep your, you know, keep those in good condition. As we talked about windshield as the break, we talked about a couple things to do to prevent rust and damage to your car. One is the wintertime is really good. Whenever you have a nice day, it's been bad weather, sun pops out, it may get above freezing, go to the car wash and just wash the underneath of your body, the body of the car, that undercarriage. If that stuff lays in there and sits there, Darren sees it, anybody in this business will tell you, it'll just rot away. That salt will etch in there, and next thing you know, you've got a vehicle that has severe rust damage, which, a couple things, the value of the vehicle, it kills that. But the second thing also, if you have a lot of rust, you no longer have the protection of that vehicle, because all your panels are going to crumble more easily and stuff. So you're really, the car isn't, you know, safety is also an issue. So I encourage you to make sure you do that. With your windshield, this is something that we see all throughout the winter. Somebody will come and the windshield just like crows, but just spider, you know, it's just shattered and stuff. But these cracks are ran from end to end. And I already know what they've done, because, I mean, it's amazing how many people get the water as hot as they, even boil water. Yeah. They got ice on their windshield, so they go in, I'm gonna boil some water, and I'm going to pour it on the windshield. Well, if you've got any kind of little stone chip in there, even if you don't, all of a sudden you got an issue, because now you need a windshield, because that stuff will crack and run. So don't put hot water on your glass and stuff. And, you know, there's a lot of little things like that.
Yeah, I know back when I was living up north, you know, we always had additives that we put in our windshield washer fluid and stuff. And I would just spray that on there, leave the truck run, you know, leave my car running while I, you know, got ready and come back out. And that additive kind of ate away. I think it was defroster or something like that that's in the washer fluid and stuff like that. That works fantastic. You know, if you don't have a scraper or anything like that, that's always helped me in the past of putting an additive in your windshield washer fluid.
Yeah, that's something a lot of people overlook, is the fact they don't put a fluid, washer fluid that's for winter. I mean, if you look, there's some that don't have the protection as far as getting down to past freezing. There's others that have it, and others have even more additives in it to help melt the ice and stuff. Just make sure you do that, because another thing where people will put water in their washer fluid a lot of times, it's another thing we see during the winter a lot. When spring comes around and they're like, well, I went to fill my washer fluid up and it's just all running out because they had water in it and that thing froze over the summer and cracked that plastic tank.
Yep.
So it's another cost you have to do. Have a scraper. You mentioned have a windshield scraper, an ice scraper in the car with you. Whenever you're traveling, always have plenty of warm clothes. If you don't have them on, at least put them in the trunk. Have some cat litter or ice melt or something that you can put in case you do get off the road and need to be able to get traction to get back on the road. If you ever break down, always know that roads are slick and maybe the person coming down that road or coming down the highway may not have complete control of their vehicle as they come by you. So many times we respond to accidents where somebody got hit, the vehicle was hit by a car while they're sitting on the side of the road. Mm-hmm. And it's just use common sense sometimes. You know, don't stand near close to the car. If you do, make sure you stand to the other side of the road. But so many people stand right there on the side of the road and they're, you know, it's just asking for trouble. If you are broke down, another thing that people will do is get sick and stuff because they leave their car running.
Oh, yeah.
You got your windows up. Car's running, you're waiting on help.
Carbon monoxide.
Yeah, carbon monoxide is a
silent killer there.
Yeah. So I always encourage people, you know, run it for just a moment to warm it up, turn it off, then crank it back up, and just kind of do that in intervals till help comes or a tow truck comes or a friend comes to pick you up, because it's those little things like that we just kind of overlook and take for granted. Darren, you think of anything else that we want to leave them with?
Yeah, I think as far as that's concerned, that's the main things that I would definitely have on the car. And you know, anytime you're breaking down or anything like that, that'll keep you in good, at least better prepared than anything else while you wait for to help arrive. And especially in the winter months, you know, if you get caught in a blizzard or anything like that, I mean, it takes a long time for some of these emergency personnel to get to you. So, yeah, you know, packing warm clothes, having, you know, water or, you know, some kind of beverage, preferably water. But, I mean, sodas are okay, but, you know, you want something that's going to keep you hydrated and everything like that. And, you know, I always keep a pack of, down south they call them nabs, but, you know, crackers or anything like that just to munch
square
on.
Square meal
that.
Right there.
Exactly. So, but you always want to prep anytime you're in your car. If it was to break down, you just want to make sure you're prepared.
Yeah. I always say, you know, have a flashlight in there. Make sure if you know that you're going out, and especially if some be a trip where you're, let's say, more than 10 or 15 miles from your house, make sure your cell phone is charged up or you have a charger with you, because that's the other thing where people will get out and their cell phone is about dead, and then they break down and trying to call for help and they can't get through.
And what's nice, they make a product out there for like a jumper. It's like a mini jumper box. I know you guys have had some in the past in the body shop side, just to jump a car. But a lot of those jumper boxes now come with chargers and stuff like that on them, to where phone is dying unexpectedly, you can sit there and plug that in and be able to charge up your phone, you know, remotely while you're waiting for help.
Yes, and it's just, you know, just sometimes it's just using common sense, but I just encourage everyone, before weather hits, kind of take those things, check your fluids in your vehicle, check your battery, your wipers, and then when you're going out, make sure, you know, you don't want to go planning on breaking down, but make sure your car is equipped in case you do break down or you slide off and get stuck somewhere, or even, you know, it may not even have anything to do with you. You could be on the interstate. I mean, we hear these every year where people die on the interstate where traffic, there was a bad accident in traffic and they're stopped in traffic and can't get off the interstate and can't move. And they're just stuck there
stuck in gridlock.
Yeah. For, I think there was one in, I forgot where it was at. I think,
Pennsylvania or something?
Yeah, that there was like 2 days before they opened up the highway and people were stuck in there. Well, Darren, it's been a great morning. And as I always say, you know, when sitting here, time sure flies. And the Christian Car Guy, it's been a great, great morning, great opportunity. I hope Robbie's having a fantastic time with boot camp. And again, you know, this weekend and this week, as we celebrate Thanksgiving, give thanks for what we really should give thanks for, and that's the fact that God loved us enough that he sent Jesus Christ. So if you're not anywhere and don't have plans tomorrow, and I hope your plans tomorrow are to be in church somewhere, go to your local church, get plugged in, and celebrate Thanksgiving and the gift of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is the Truth Network.